we're going to do the last Lamed Aleph from Sochem, but we're going to start from the bottom of Lamed Aleph Beis in the Mishnah. The Gemara says like this: Nachash Hilbe is Yisrael Al Chimtai. So a guy lent money to a Yid, and the Yid gave him Chometz as collateral. Achar Pesach Mutzer Bahano. As we're going to see in the Gemara, the case is that the Chometz stayed in the house of the guy over Pesach, so that's why it's Mutzer Bahano after Pesach. The Yisrael Shehilbe as Nachri Al Chimtai, and the other way around, if a Jew lent a guy money and the collateral was chometz that the Jew was holding on to over Pesach as collateral, so Aser Bahano, that's going to be Aser. So we don't know yet in the beginning of the Gemara that the case is that they're holding it in their house. We think just honestly that that was the collateral. So the Gemara starts off with the famous Machlekes Itmar Bal Chayv. So generally speaking, when somebody has a loan and there's collateral on the loan, who owns the collateral during the term of the loan? Bal Chayv Abaya Omer LaMafreya Hu Gaivo. He says that it really turns out that if the guy doesn't end up paying you back the loan and you end up taking the collateral as your payment, so it comes out that you really owned that collateral the whole time. LaMafreya Hu Gaivo. Retroactively, it's as if you collected it from originally when he handed it to you. When you made the loan, in other words. He says, no, it wasn't yours until the loan terminated, expired, and then you took the collateral, then it became yours. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's the machlokes is a buying row, whether it's yours from the whole time or it's only yours starting now. So the Gemara says, if the case was that during the term, the loiva, tried to sell it or tried to be makdish, everybody agrees, the Asi Malva Vatarif, that the Malva gets to take back his property because it's his collateral, the Asi Malva Parik, and not only that, he can even take it back from Hektish, that's not because we have a Ferish and Mishnah. And the case is that if the borrower goes ahead and makes something Hektish, so the Malva, the lender, is able to come and take it back even from Hektish, as long as he has to pay for it, because you can't take things from Hektish without paying something. Fine, but the point is that your collateral, your lien is stronger than what the borrower is able to do. So there's no machlekes Abai and Rava on that point. Ki pligi, the only time Abai and Rava argue is the Zavin Malve, where the Malve went ahead and sold it during the term of the loan before it became his, the Kiddush Malve, and he made it Hektish during the term of the loan. And then, as Rashi points out, the case was, and then eventually the guy didn't pay back, and it was time for you to take the collateral, and you say, you know what, Hektish, I didn't really mean to give it to Hektish, it wasn't mine then. I'd rather take the object back now, and I'll give Hektish something else. So that's where you have your machlekes Abaye and Rava. Abaye, Omar Lemafrey, who go even, no, it was yours the whole time, so what you were makdish is a good hektish, or what you sold is a good sale. Given the Moses Mane Veloy Paris, since it turns out that the time came and he didn't pay you back with money, Gloy Milsa Lemafrey, it turns out, retroactively, the Meikar, originally, Berushus, they had a koi that it was really yours, the Shaper Akdish, the Shaptis oven, so therefore what you sold or what you were makdish was a proper sale, and it worked. And Rava, Omar, no, Mikan Rolahabo, he says, even though you were holding it the whole time, even though it was collateral the whole time, it's only really yours now that he didn't pay you cash. Why? Because if had he had actual money, he would have redeemed the collateral with the money. So it turns out that really now it's his, because the problem is that in order to sell something, or certainly to be makdish it, you have to own it. And since I didn't really own it, because it was always possible that the guy was going to take it away from me, it wasn't a proper hektish. So that's Rava Shita, that it only starts being yours from now. Then the Gemara goes on and brings a very interesting case that takes a couple lines to develop. The Gemara says like this: "Me Amar Rava Hachi, did Rava really say that it's only yours starting now?" But Amar Rami Bar Choma. Rami Bar Choma says the following case. Now we're going to get to Rava in a minute, but first Rami Bar Choma says as follows: Reuven Shemacher Sodel Shimon Ba'achrayas. So Reuven sells a field to Shimon, and he takes responsibility for it. He takes warranty that if something happens as a result of Reuven's chayvos, that somebody takes the field away from the purchaser, from Shimon, that Reuven will reimburse him. However, that's fine, that's one point. However, Zachman alav b'milva. And then, when Shimon actually didn't have enough money to pay for the whole loan, to pay for the property, so he agreed to owe Reuven the money. So right now, Shimon, the purchaser, owes the money for the property. It's like a loan, almost, from Reuven to Shimon. He owes money for the property. On the other hand, Reuven, the seller, is also taking responsibility that if anything happens, he'll reimburse Shimon. That's the case. Umeis Reuven, so what happened was eventually Reuven dies and he still hasn't been paid back for the property.
I thought the question was that if someone comes and
We didn't get that yet. Umeis Reuven, first Reuven dies. Va'asabal choiv de Reuven v'tarif le Shimon. And then, this is what you were saying, and then somebody actually came, Reuven's lender, Reuven himself had a lender that this field was collateral for. Reuven's lender came and took the field from Shimon. And he says, you know what, Reuven owed me the money, and here's the field, I want this field. Not a problem. So he came and he took the field from Shimon. But Shimon didn't want to lose the field. But also Shimon, upaisi bezuzik. So Shimon said, he said, you know what, here it is. I owe Reuven money anyway. Here's the payment for the field. Let me give you the money. I want to really keep the field. So instead of, let's just take for argument's sake, it's $100,000. So he said, instead of taking the property, instead of taking the house, here is your $100,000. So
only $500,000, not $500,000.
Yeah, hold on one second. So he says, instead of taking the field that the Reuven owes you, the lender, I'm going to give you the money instead. So, and that's what he pays for you. Now, dinahu. So what's the halacha? Who owes who money? Dinahu da asu b'nei Reuven va'amri leila Shimon. So now the children of Reuven, who are still owed money from Shimon because he never paid for the field, they come and they say, Anan metaltalin shavik avuch gaboch. We only left metaltalin because you owed us, it's not our field anymore, you owe us money, you have a cash loan. And metaltalin yasmi l'baal choyv l'mishtabi. And as metaltalin, there's no obligation to really pay back the lender with that, with metaltalin. So we really, technically, had no obligation to pay back this loan. And you went ahead and you paid back the loan without our permission. We don't owe you anything. So your argument is, yeah, but you have achrayus, and you're responsible to pay me if I lose the field as a result of your lender. But I didn't lose the field as a result of your lender. I lost the field because I didn't owe the lender anything. We only had metaltalin, so you had no right to pay metaltalin to the lender. So we don't owe you anything, and therefore you still owe us money for the field. You still owe us the to pay us for the field. So that's what the assignment taina, and that's the halacha. Really, he does. He has no right to pay them. He had no right to give that field to the lender. However, the Omar Rava, this is where Rava gets in trouble. Rava says, "Ipikeach Shimon." However, if Shimon is smart, because remember the halacha is that Shimon still owes the assignment money to pay for the field. But if he's smart, magvilahu ara, what he should do is he should pay them the field as payment. V'hoder gavilahu minayu, and then he'll take the field back, because what will happen is when he gives the field as metaltalin as payment. Now remember, Reuven sold the field with achrayus, so Reuven also was like a borrower, so to speak. So now, when he takes back when he gives back the field, now he has a field. Oh, you have a field. The field is meshubah to me, so he can take back the field as for the achrayus. That's what Rava says. Where does he get this concept from? The Amar Rav Nachman Yisaimim Shagavu Karka B'Chodesh Aviyim, because if Yisaimim take karka instead of just cash, if they take land, B'Chodesh as it's what is owed their father, Baal Chayv Chodesh B'Chodesh Aviyim, and then the Baal Chayv has the right to take it. So what was their whole argument? Their argument was, we only had metaltalin by you. That's not true. I could have given you the land, and if I gave you the land, now you have land that you owe the Baal Chayv. If you owe the Baal Chayv, now so then you're achrayus for me. So then the whole thing goes in a circle, and therefore the Shimon's not going to have to pay them anything, or rather he pays them the field, but then he takes it back because they have achrayus. The father has achrayus. Now the problem is but if the problem is, if you hold like the shita, like Abaya for example, that holds that when you take collateral back it's as if it was yours the whole time, so then I understand why Shimon is able to take the field back from them, the commander gavu mechaim davu and dami, because then it's as if everything really happened, goes back to retroactively when it was all started. So everything is as if Shimon, Reuven had that field all along. Remember, because the case is that he had to give it to Reuven, and then Reuven gave it to the Bachar, but that's not the Iker. It's as if once Shimon paid the assignment back the field, it's as if Reuven had that field all along from before. And if he had it from before, then he had karka that was meshubah to Shimon. So that's why Shimon's able to take it back. The problem is that Rava doesn't hold that it was as if it was Reuven's the whole time. But if you hold like Rava l'shitasai, that you only really own the property, own the collateral from the time that you collected it, and not from the time that from before, why is it that Shimon is able to come back and then take it away from the Yisoyimim? It's as if the Yisoyimim bought other property. Imagine if Shimon had actually paid them. Is that the Yisoyimim bought other property? Imagine if Shimon had paid them cash, and they took that cash and they went out and bought other property. Of course, that other property is not owed to Shimon.
It's not connected
because it's no different than any other property. The ilu kana Yisoyimim nichsei, and everybody agrees that if Yisoyimim went ahead and bought nechasim, mika mishtar the Baal Chayiv, would they be meshubah to Baal Chayiv? In this case, the Baal Chayiv is Shimon. So if you only are first becoming the owner of it now, feels after acquired property that the Yisraelim get is not Meshubet to Shimon. So why, according to Rav, if he holds that it's only Mikanu Lahaba, that it starts later, why is it that it's still Meshubet to Shimon? That's the question. It would make sense if Rav held like Abaya, but he doesn't. So Gemara says, you're right. Even though Rav holds that in terms of the field, they only got the collateral later, however, this case is different. Why? Because Shani Hassam, the Amar Lahu, over here Shimon is able to say to him, Ki hechad mishtabner le ala avuchan, because just like I owed your father the metaltalin or the field, whatever it is that I owed him, mishtabner nami le b'achoyv deruven, it is already mishubid to the owner, to your father's, in the case of Ruvain, to Ruvain's father, to Ruvain's b'achoyv. So it's not like it's all starting now. The same Shiva that I have that's going back to you is really going back to the original b'achoyv. And therefore, it's not as if I gave the Baal Chayiv, I gave him new property. It's not as if I gave him new property. I gave him the old property that he already had hands on.
A owes B.
Right. And B owes C.
Then A owes B.
Exactly. From the next halacha. Mida Reb Nosson. The Amar Reb Nosson. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Reb Nosson Oimer. Minayim Lenoisha B'chaveri. This is exactly what we said. How do we know that if I owe somebody to my friend, Mana, $100, and he owes his friend $100, that I take it directly out of the first guy and we give it all the way to the last guy, because eventually instead of the money going through the chain, we just pay the money directly to the last guy, and it's as if there's a sheep that already exists from the first guy to the last guy. How do we know that's true? Talmud Leimer, because the pasuk itself says that you should give the money to the one who's responsible for it. So in other words, we don't give it to the one I owe money to. I give it to the one who's ultimately responsible, who ultimately deserves it. So therefore, Shimon owed this money the whole time. Since Shimon owed Reuven, and Reuven owed somebody else, as if Shimon already owed the money and he had the field for the original Baal Chayv. So even though Rav is right, it says if he only collected it now, but the Shibud already existed and, so to speak, carried through from Shimon to Reuven and from Reuven to the Baal Chayv, and therefore it can go back to the Baal Chayv and they have a good taina. Now this is only true if he used karka to pay. If he used metaltalin, had he actually given the Yisraelim metaltalin, so then the metaltalin, for whatever reason, the Rabbanan al-Gezer, that it breaks the chain, because metaltalin is not meshubit of Yisraelim, so it breaks the chain. But if you're using karka, the chain isn't broken and it goes all the way back to the Baal Chayv, and therefore Shimon has the right to collect on his achrayas, or at least he doesn't have to pay a second time. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Now going back to, we still have the Machlokes. So now we've established that Abaya and Rava are the Shitosam. Abaya says that it was always mine, Limafreya. Rava saying it's only mine when I actually collect it. Let's go see how it fits into our Mishnah. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Nachrish Hilvez Yisrael Achimtsoi, that if a guy lent a Jew money and he used Chametz as collateral, Achar Pesach Mutter Bahano. It's Mutter Bahano because the guy had it. Now, according to Abaya, it makes perfect sense. He had it the whole time. The guy had it over Pesach. It was the guy's chametz over Pesach. That's why it's Mutter. But according to Rava, that it wasn't really the guy's until he actually collected it. And now the Jew after Pesach is taking back his own chametz. Am I Mutter Bahano? So why it's the Jew's chametz according to Rava? It only became the guy's later. So why is it Mutter Bahano? It's considered the Yid's. So why is it mutter? The Gemara answers, "Hachav amai eskinik kasher einu etzloi." The case that we forgot to leave out as a piece of information is not that the property was sitting in the house of the yid; it was actually sitting in the guy's house, which is different than what we understood. The machlokes Abaya and Rava is only in a case where the collateral was sitting in the borrower's hands. But if the collateral is already sitting in the malva's hands, so then it's considered the malva's all along. Okay, so Lema Katanoi, but let us say that L'chayra is a Machalik Katanoi, because it says Yisrael, the other way, look at the Sefer, it says Yisrael Shehilda V'nachri Al-Chimtsoi. If you have a Jew that lent a guy, and he took Chometz from the guy as collateral, L'achar HaPesach Eina Oiver, Eina Oiver. So then after Pesach, it's not yours because it belonged to the guy. Rabbi Meir Oimer Oiver. Rabbi Meir says no, that it was, since it was in the house of the Yid, it's Oiver. So my love, V'hokam Iflagi. So what's the Machalik is? It must be what we've been saying all along. It's exactly this point. Whose reshus is it in retroactively? Okay, so that's the machlekes in the case where the Jew was the lender. How about the other way around? The tizbro. Let's say the seifa. Ema seifa. Look at the seifa. Avo nachash hilda liyisrael alchem. So what if the guy is the lender and holding on to the Jew's chametz? Lachar pesach divrei hakol oiver. Everybody agrees now all of a sudden that it's usur. Now why? Now, if the machlokes is, as we explained, that it depends on whether it was his the whole time or it only becomes his later, so then it should be the vice versa when the guy is the lender and the guy is holding on to the chametz, so the question should be the same thing. Was it the guy's the whole time or was it the guy's later? Lamandam, and the Gemara explained, L'divrei HaKol, V'Ibcha Miboyle. And here the Mishnah says, the Brisa says, that it's definitely bad, it's definitely a problem, even if the guy had it. But that shouldn't be. It should be the other way around. When you say that it was in the rishus of the guy, so when it was in the rishus of the Yisrael, it wasn't a problem because it belonged to the guy. So over here, when it was in the hands of the Yid, it should be over. And over there, where it said it was a problem because it was still owned by the Jew, so then it should be still considered owned by the guy. So it shouldn't be a problem. So that can't be the explanation because it doesn't explain why, when the guy is the lender, it's always offer. It has to be over here. The case is that either, again, that you have to say that they're holding on to it in their possession. So the Jew is holding on to it in his possession, and that's why it's mutter. And the guy is holding on to it in his possession, and that's why it's. But it's not going to work because the Gemara says there's another point over here. The kamiflagi by the Rabbi Yitzchak. They're arguing on another point. They're arguing on Rabbi Yitzchak halacha. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Minayim lebal choyv shekana mashkin. Rabbi Yitzchak has another famous halacha, which is that whenever a malva is holding on to collateral, and this is talking about when he's holding on to physical possession of the collateral, that it's considered his, it's mamish considered, it belongs to the malva. How do we know this? Shenem v'lechati et tzedakah. Says it should be a tzedakah. This is talking about when a malva, when a lender holds on to property that the almana, the case of the chumash is, that the almana needs the object overnight. So when you give it back to her, it's considered as if you're giving her tzedakah. Now, I'm ain't a kind of mashkin tzedakah minayin. If it's not mine, so what kind of tzedakah is it? But I can't give her thing and call it tzedakah for me. Mikan lebalchayv shekana mashkin. Okay, so therefore it's considered as if I owned it. So how do we explain the machlokes? It's tanakam asavar hani mi yisrael mi yisrael. So that's only talking about when one yid gives another yid, so it's a real kinyan. It's as if he's really giving it. Hu de karinim b'lechot yid tzedakah, so that's where it applies that it belongs to the lender. Av yisrael mi nachri loy. But when I take it from a guy, no, it's not mine. And therefore, if it was the guy's chametz, it's not a problem. Okay. Rav Meir Sava, that's the Tanakhama sheet. Rav Meir Sava, Kabba Chaymer. Yisrael me, Yisrael Kani. If I take it from another yid, Yisrael me, enough of the kosher gain. So certainly when a guy gives me something, it should be considered my kosher gain. My kosher gain, certainly it should be considered mine. So that's the machlokes in the first case, whether when the Yisrael takes it from a guy, whether or not it's considered having taken it, it's his or not. However, Avon Nachri Shehil Ve'es Yisrael, but when the guy is the lender, Al Chimtza, on the Jew's chametz, everybody's going to agree that it's considered the Jews' chametz, it's a problem. Because everybody will agree this halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't apply. So it means it was in the ownership of the Jew over Pesach, and that's why it's chametz over a lot of Pesach is going to be a problem. Even if the guy had it in his possession, exactly, because Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha doesn't apply. So that's and that explains the price. So why in the price, in the safe of the price, when the guy is the lender, everybody agrees the chametz is a problem. Okay, then the Gemara says another halacha. Tanan. Nachri Shehilva Yisrael Al Chimtzai. What? Achar Pesach Mutter Bahano. So you have another Mishnah again that it's the guy is the lender. The Yisrael gave him chametz after Pesach. It's Mutter Bahano. So the Gemara says Nehi Nami Deher Heinu Etzla. Even if you want to say that you gave the chametz to the guy, Mutter Ha'amris Nachri Yisrael Loikani. So I say, what does it help? According to this chiddush that we just said, that even when the Yisrael gives it to the guy, he's not kaina, he doesn't hold it for Yisrael's halacha. So what does it help that the Jew gave the chametz to the guy over Pesach? Our Mishnah doesn't make any sense anymore. Why is it mutter b'hano? Why does our Mishnah say mutter b'hano? The guy has no kinyan. The Gemara answers like kasha hada amalei me'achshav hada lo yamalei me'achshav. So you need another condition. When you give it to a guy, it's not only enough that you actually physically give it to him, you also have to tell him, and if I don't pay you back, like a pawn shop, that if I don't pay you back, it's yours. I already sold it to you. I already gave it to you. That's what you have to say. And that's why, so if the Jew gave the chametz to the guy over Pesach, and he said, it's yours unless I pay you back, then, and Hanami, if you happen to pay him back later, you get to buy, so to speak, buy your chametz back from the guy. Otherwise, the guy did not own the chametz over Pesach. We know Timer the Shana Ben Hechad Amar Me'achshav or Ben Hechad Loy Amar Me'achshav. Where do we see that there's a difference between whether I said these words that makes all the difference whether it's considered mine l'mafreya or not? The Tanya is a brisa. We have a brisa that says like this: Nachri Shereinu Pas Porni Eitzel Yisrael. If a guy gives as a present, he gives a bread. It's a certain type of bread, like a donut with a filling in it or something for Hanukkah, right? That has a filling in it. So he gives it to a Jew over Pesach. Ain't over. It's not considered the Jews over Pesach, and therefore it's okay. But if he says, "Oh, this is for you," so then over. then all of a sudden, then the Jew holding on to that donut over Pesach is going to be a problem. So Maishna Reisha, Maishna said, what's the difference? Because he said, oh, it's already here, it's already yours. So it must be the difference is, because when he says, oh, it's already yours, that's already saying it's already yours from now. It's already yours from the time I hand it to you, if I said it. So once I say it, then it literally does become the person, the holder, in the holder's possession from the moment that he gave it to him. Whereas if he doesn't say that, then just because he's holding on to it, it doesn't make it his until he actually collects it and the loan becomes due and it's not paid back. The Gemara gives a totally different halacha. Tanu Rabbanan, Chanus Shel Yisrael. Let's say a Jew owns a store, a Mole Shel Yisrael, and the products in the store belong to the Jew itself. And Goyim workers come in and out, and they have their sandwiches or whatever. Any food that you find in the store is considered belonging to the Yid, and therefore the food is Osir Bahano, even though there are Goyisha workers there. And certainly if it's Osir Bahano, I can't eat it either. And the other way around is also chiddush. Chanos shel nochi. Let's say you have a goyish store, a molish shel nochi, and the products in there are goyish, belong to the goy. And you have Jewish workers walking back and forth during Pesach. Chametz and nimtz sham. So now I'm a customer of the store. I find chametz in the store. Achar Pesach mutar ba'achil. I can even eat it. So certainly mutar ba'anot. Meaning that everything I find in a store belongs to the owner of the store. I don't care about who the workers are. The stuff in the store, stuff on the shelves belongs to the owner of the store. It's very important halacha, and therefore you have to be very careful with workers. If you have workers working for you on Pesach, that you have to remember that that stuff is going to be considered asur b'hanah. It's not really yours if it belongs to the guy. However, but anything that you find after Pesach that you don't know where it belonged to, you have to assume that it belonged to the owner of the store. Let's just do the next one very quickly. The Mishnah says like this: Chametz shenafel alav ma'poilus. Let's say you have chametz that a wall fell on top of it that you can't reach it. Harei u'kamavur. It's as if it's destroyed because you can't get to it over Pesach. Rishon v'Gamliel loymer. Rishon v'Gamliel says kol she'ein ha'kelav yachol lechapes acharav, if the dog isn't able to search for it. And that's an explanation of how deep it has to be. It's not a machlekes. It's an explanation. It has to be so that the dog can't reach it. Amar el chista. But even though it's covered, you have to be mevatel because it may become uncovered over Pesach. Tanakama chipos kelav. Now it says the category, the qualification is that a dog can't reach it. So how deep does it have to be that a dog can't reach? So shloisha tfachim, three tfachim deep. Amalei Ravacha bereda Rav Yosef, Ravashi, so Ravacha says to Ravashi, hada amar shmul ksofim eim haim shmir ela b'karka. If you want to guard money properly, you have to bury it in the ground. So mi b'ina shloisha tfachim, do I need to bury it also three tfachim deep? Does burial mean three tfachim? So Amalei said, no hacham ishum recha b'inan shloisha tfachim. Over here we're talking about food. So food has to be, if you don't want the dog to be able to find it, it has to be three tefachim deep. The dog is not going to smell it anymore, and it's not going to be able to get to it. Over here by money, it's just a matter of being covered up, so you can't see it. So any deepness, it's not, you don't need it to be that deep, it just has to be, you can't see it. So how deep does it have to be? I'm a rafim by papa misichra. So rafim by papa from the city of Sichra says, tepach, it has to be one tepach deep, that's considered deep enough, so that it's covered over, and you're not going to be able to find it on Pesach. Okay, we'll stop here for now.